Meeting is now being recorded.
Hello, everyone. This is Brenda speaking. Welcome to the RDS Who Is Two Leadership Call number 30 on 6 June 2018 at 1530 UTC. Attending the call today is Alan, Catherine, and Susan. And from ICANN organization is Lisa, Nagar, Jean-Baptiste, Alice, and Brenda. Today's call is being recorded. May I please remind you to state your name before speaking? And Alan, I'll turn the call over to you. Thank you.
No, actually, I'll turn the call over to Jean-Baptiste.
Jean-Baptiste.
Thank you. Thank you, Brenda, and thank you, Ellen. So on today's leadership agenda, we have a short discussion on the face-to-face meeting, a subgroup status update. Then we have a discussion on ICANN 62, also get your approval on the suggested plenary call agenda. Is there anything you'd like to add to today's agenda?
Not at all that I'm aware of.
Okay. So moving on to the first topic, I'll pass the mic to Alice to provide an update on the face-to-face meeting.
Thank you, Jean-Baptiste. So we've been liaising with our meetings team to obtain an update on dates that would work for them. So we do know for sure that the week of July 18th is not an issue. Our IT support in Brussels can cover the meeting. We do have a confirmation that July 25th and 26th does work for the meetings team, but we're waiting to hear back from them on whether there are additional openings in that week. Sarah, who supported the meeting that we had in April, she's checking with her colleagues whether they could cover an additional dates. We've been sending a lot of reminders, and we do hope to have a final answer from them today. And as soon as we do, then we'll go forward with the doodle poll.
Okay. Sorry, it's Alan. Can we summarize for me? I'm still not 100% clear. Okay. So the 25th, 26th is okay.
25th, 26th, yes.
Right. We know the 24th, 25th, at least Chris cannot attend. And I'm not quite sure who else is not okay with that. And we know that the 25th, 26th, Volker, perhaps under duress, can attend. He may be slightly late in the morning, but other than that. Is there anyone that we know cannot? I know we have to do a doodle formally, but at this point, is there anyone that we know cannot do the 25th, 26th?
Brenda, do you still have a copy of the prior doodle that we could refer to?
I will look for it. Sorry, no. I didn't have it handy.
No, I wasn't. I just mean people recall from the discussion on Monday. I got the sense 25th, 26th. Well, Thomas can't attend, but Thomas can attend pretty much any of the dates. And to reiterate, which dates are you looking at on the previous week?
The whole week, July 16th through July.
Well, we know the 19th and 20th are no good for Catherine.
Yeah, July 16th through 20th works for us, and then 25th, 26th.
Okay, so we may reopen the beginning part of the previous week, and we will look at the options on that week. Okay, thank you. So now at least I know where we are. I presume constituency travel knows about this, and so they're not going to bug people about not making their reservations, hopefully. Do we have a confirmation that any of the issue tickets are changeable?
We do. Actually, we posted an update in the Skype channel respective to that. So there are two tickets that were issued, and we know for sure that there will be some change fees.
Of course.
At least $300 for economy ticket and additional $1,500 for a business ticket at a minimum. So we do have that information available. So you can factor that into the decision-making.
an outrageous cost, but we won't talk about that. All right, let's go on with it and get the doodle out as soon as we can so we can come to closure on this.
Hi, this is Catherine, if I may, just quickly.
Please, go ahead.
Just to say thank you very much to Alice and Jean-Baptiste and the team for this very quick turnaround, and also to the colleagues that we are not in direct contact with, because that's really excellent news and takes a big load off my shoulders in terms of causing all of these changes. So just to say thank you, and I really appreciate the very quick work on this.
And I agree with the thank you. Catherine, we'll try to do something else later to make you feel guilty, though.
Whatever it takes.
All right, let's go on to the next item.
So Alan, just to be clear on the conclusion,
sure,
for this, so we are issuing a poll out now, then, or do you want to wait until meetings team gets back?
No, we want to wait till,
okay,
make sure,
okay,
we have something better.
Yes, of course. Okay,
people,
no problem. Thank you.
People's schedules change, and we may well find that for whatever reason and nothing else is going to work, but let's hope it will.
Okay, perfect.
Thank you, Alice. Moving on to the next item on the agenda, which is an update on the subgroup status. So we have the pleasure to have Lisa on the call today, and she will provide an update on the different subgroups.
Thanks, Jean-Baptiste. And this is Lisa for the record. So I went through each of the subgroups' latest reports and interactions on the list and tried to get a handle on where the subgroups stand with respect to possibly completing their reports, in particular the section containing recommendations, by the 8th of June. And you had asked us to flag the subgroups that seem to be at some risk, and so those are highlighted in red here on the slide. I'll step through them, and then perhaps we can discuss any questions that you might have about how to move forward. On strategic priority, I mean, Catherine is on the call and has a handle on this, but I flagged this as potentially at risk, not because the update wasn't available, but largely because the updated report was relatively recent, and there has been no feedback from the subgroup yet on the new recommendation that was formulated by Catherine. So I have some concern, given that it's now the 6th, that by the 8th, the subgroup won't have weighed in on that recommendation and agreed to it. So that's why I flag that as potentially at risk. Catherine, did you want to add anything on that?
Thank you. Sorry, struggling with the mute button. I mean, the challenge is very clear. It's that Volker has now woken up to the issues that are arising for the registrars, and you see this also in other subgroups, that it's really difficult to come to an agreement also on the things that have already gone to the full list with him on the text. And I think that will require some more back and forth, but I need to sit down and to think about it again tonight, and send some more arguments his way, because I'm fundamentally uncomfortable with the idea. He's basically proposing that meeting user needs would require a weighing of legal responsibilities, and that's not really what I was trying to recommend. So I'm trying to help, find a solution here, but I'm not confident how quickly it will go, just seeing the reactions on other reports.
Yeah, it's Alan speaking. I haven't waited on anything. It's been a huge amount of traffic the last couple of days, and I just haven't gotten to it yet. I probably won't today, but I hope to by sometime tomorrow. Ultimately, if we cannot come to agreement in the subgroup or in the review team, we could pose questions to the community in our draft report. I'd like to not do that, exhaustively. To the extent we can make decisions, we should. But we certainly can do that. And ultimately, if Volker is the only one objecting, then I think we'll have to make a decision within the working group how to proceed, within the review team, rather. So I don't think at this point anyone has a veto, although we may choose to honor their dissatisfaction, you know, one way or another.
Okay, no, so that's helpful to know.
And this is Lisa again. And thank you for pointing out, Catherine, that that is a problem that other subgroups are going to experience. In this case, Volker is a member of this subgroup, but in other cases, Volker has now weighed in on recommendations made by other subgroups that he is not a part of. I wonder if it would be helpful to have a general decision about how subgroups should handle recommendations where there is one member, either of the review team or of the subgroup itself, who is uncomfortable. Should they retain that recommendation and flag it, flag the potential objection? It seems like what you were saying, Alan, is that that should at least make it to back to the full review team for consideration.
I would think so, because if the person, I mean, one out of three is a statistically significant amount. You know, the rule of thumb we have for consensus is 80%, and you know, two out of three on one side and one out of three on another don't make that cut. So I think if there's that kind of dissension and disagreement, I think we have to bring it to the review team. We've got to have something to do between now and July.
So it sounds like it might be useful to provide general direction to the subgroup rapporteurs that if they have a recommendation where there's one person objecting, they should retain the recommendation or at least include it in the subgroup report with a notation that there's not full support for it.
Yeah, this is a leadership team. If Susan and Catherine disagree, then please speak up.
Now, this is Susan, and, you know, we have the same thing going on in compliance and privacy proxy, too, I think. I'm finding a little difficult to deal with, you know, that we're getting pushback from Volker, but he's also not drafted his common interface report, which I know I said I was going to try to work on but never got there.
Yeah,
so,
same situation with Stephanie.
Yeah, it would, you know, I'd appreciate if they both would at least draft their reports. And I made that very strong statement to Stephanie at the last call. But, you know, so they're picking and choosing what they're working on. And also, you know, and this isn't a surprise to anybody, I'm sure, but Volker and I are often on opposite ends of the spectrum with our opinions, but I think some of what he's advocating isn't accurate. So I absolutely, for compliance, you know, I've seen a lot of discussion going back and forth between Lily and Volker. I happen to agree pretty much with Lily. I need to read her latest recommendation one more time. That might be a little bit over doing it, but I think this puts Volker in the position to make his own statements about it, but it doesn't change the, when we've all agreed upon things and he's the only one disagreeing, then I we're not going to bend to the will of Volker. So I see the recommendations in the compliance report staying very much the same. You know, we might change some wording or something, but the intent of them, and Volker then will need to defend his point of view.
Yeah,
we all do.
Yeah, I think that's correct. And look, we call the group subgroup leaders rapporteurs. They're not chairs. They don't have decision-making, authority over the other members. So I think we have no choice but to bring things back to the working group if we can't come to agreement.
I also don't think that's necessarily a negative
not at all.
To the community. Look, this is what we've, seven members have agreed on this and one hasn't or two haven't. You know, I mean, you know, that's just discussion and that's how you, you know, sort of negotiate to come to a consensus sometimes.
Within my own group, I keep on reminding them we have a multi-stakeholder model because we don't agree with each other. If everyone agreed with each other, we'd only need one person. So
exactly.
And, you know, we're living in a world where there, it's not particularly surprising that some of us are going to make recommendations that the registrars are going to disagree with. And ultimately, you know, a change that involves registrars having to do something is going to ultimately have to be negotiated or enacted through a PDP. You know, we know that. So, you know, just because we put it in does not mean it's going to happen. There still is going to have to be a process that has to go forward. But I think we have to do what we believe is best for the overall environment, not just registrars. And they may issue a strong objection to it in the comments to the board. The board may choose to listen to them.
Yeah, exactly.
Certainly in years gone past, that would have happened. Whether it will this year or not, we'll see.
So this is Lisa, if I can jump back in.
Yeah, please. We are almost over the 30-minute call, so, yes.
Oh, dear. my takeaways, though, from what was just said is a couple of things. One is I do think that it would be helpful for the leadership to provide some clarity to the full review team about what we're trying to accomplish in this round of subgroup reports, meaning that we should include recommendations that don't have the full support so that they can be considered by the full review team and perhaps flag those as not having full support of the subgroup. Does that seem reasonable?
Yep.
And then another is somewhat really implied, but I don't feel in several of these cases like we have a read on full support of the subgroup. You know, if he takes silence as support, then I guess we do. But in some cases, it's just not clear that the subgroup has even, you know, weighed in on the report. And so I do think we need to be encouraging rapporteurs to make sure that members of the subgroup at least affirmatively state they support what's in the recommendation section of the draft that we're going to call final by the 8th.
Yeah, Lisa, on that one, I don't think we're going to win that one. I mean, you know, we can send out messages saying, you know, please weigh in. People don't. And there are going to be some who tacitly agree and will agree when it goes to the working group. There are some who it won't be until we come face-to-face and they're forced to focus on the issues that they say, I disagree. I have full expectation that that's going to happen. So I really don't think we can do anything about it. I mean, that's one of the reasons we schedule face-to-face meetings, is it forces people to confront the issues.
I don't disagree with you at all, Alan. I know that's kind of just the way it goes. But
yeah.
I do think that if rapporteurs really took it as their mission that they should try to, you know, individually touch base with each of their subgroup members, you'll get some responses back rather than none.
Yeah. So certainly on the ones where we know there is controversy, we should do our best to try that.
Lisa, this is Catherine. If I may, can you pinpoint particular groups where this is an issue? Because I don't have much comparison in terms of traffic. I mean, or Alan, you might also know from following all of them. Because I don't really know how, for example, the ones I'm rapporteur for compare to others.
Sure. So let me finish my quick walk through the subgroups, and then perhaps we can come back to that point, Catherine.
Perfect.
Okay, so we've talked about strategic priority, and Catherine, I know you tried to schedule a call for this group and didn't have attendance, and in terms of comparing to other groups, there really hasn't been any feedback that you've gotten from your group, at least on list. You may have gotten some off list.
Well, there's been now the discussion with Volcker on recommendation, right? That's the only thing I've gotten on that one.
Yes, correct.
And
as you pointed out, Volcker just woke up, so that could heat up the back and forth.
Yeah, and I know that Carlton at some point weighed in, but I think there also was a feeling after the face-to-face discussion in particular that we sort of had agreement on the general direction already, and maybe that's, sort of made things worse in terms of feedback. But I have to say I was a bit shocked by the call.
Yeah. I think once you have your recommendation on paper, as you do now, prodding someone like Carlton to say, does this accurately capture what you think we agreed to in the face-to-face might get you some feedback or at least confirmation that you've gone in the right direction.
Okay.
On single who is policy, Carlton is still working on that document to finalize it. There was a question raised, and Catherine, I think it was actually from you, wasn't it, about whether the recommendation was framed in a way that it was a recommendation to the board. And I have to say I looked and had some sympathy for your question. It's not the same kind of recommendation as those coming from other subgroups.
Yes, so there's three recommendations, if I remember correctly now. The whole document, it pretty much describes the process in implementing the recommendation and everything. So it basically, it leads to a pretty natural assumption that there will not be any recommendation at the end of it. And then there's this recommendation that we recognize somebody recognizes that the recommendation from the original team has been implemented. And something else along those lines. And that, to me, clearly sounds like a recommendation to the rest of the review team rather than to the board. Because the board has already recognized that they consider this implemented, so they don't need to do this again. And I raised this with Carlton, but I haven't gotten any feedback yet. And that was a couple of days ago, right after he shared his report.
Right. And I think in looking at the what the report said and your comment, I wondered if that wasn't just the conclusion that the subgroup reached rather than a recommendation. This stands is that it's sitting with Carlton to update that portion of the report and go back out to the subgroup for a final okay. on outreach, that one, there's two recommendations, and Ellen, I know you put it out for last call, but part of your last call asked whether the second recommendation should, in fact, be a recommendation. So I think that's the sort of the open area getting feedback on that.
Yeah, I think that was asked to the review team, not. I think we deemed it closed from the subgroup, if I remember correctly.
Yes, correct. But it's still a question, with respect to finalizing that report, right?
I don't think we're going to get closure until we get to July. The problem is, even if one person answers, the others don't tend to weigh in.
So would you consider then this a recommendation coming from the subgroup that would be included in recommendations presented at ICANN 62?
Yes, at this point. I mean, the recommendation is a pretty soft one. The recommendation says convene a group to decide whether you have to do outreach. So it's not a particularly onerous recommendation, and it may end up with no action, other than convening the group that decides there's no need for outreach. My concern is if we are going to make that recommendation, we really need a couple of examples to seed it. And I'm not sure we have sufficient examples right now. The group as a whole may decide they are sufficient, and I'm happy to live with that. The ones we have are substantive. It's law enforcement, which is a really major one, and that law enforcement is far more widespread than just the GACS, group looking at these issues. We have a world of law enforcement. You know, so there is outreach we can do in various forms, and that may be, that alone may be sufficient enough to do it. But of course, GDPR is going to impact all of this, and we don't quite know how it will impact it. So I'm not unhappy with the way it stands right now. And if we end up simply deciding that it is the recommendation is sufficient as is, the question just disappears. If we can end up with one or two more examples in the recommendation, that makes it stronger. So I'm not uncomfortable where we are right now.
All right. So as far as understanding whether the subgroup has signed off on that recommendation, is your feeling it has, then the question needs to be dealt with then at the review team level, correct?
Yeah, I believe, I'm getting confused, but I'm pretty sure that's the one that I told the sub team I am deeming it to be complete, and we're sending it to the, and I sent it to the review team in general.
Okay. Yes, you did send it to the review team.
Yeah, and no one complained, and everyone on the subgroup is also on the review team, so there's still plenty of opportunity to change things if they really feel it's necessary.
And then the other thing with respect to outreach, this is a nice segue into compliance, is that at least one, if not two of the compliance recommendations question whether they really belong under outreach.
Right.
So how do you, when, at what point do you see sort of handing those off from the compliance subgroup back to the outreach?
I guess we don't have a mechanism for that, but we sort of did it with the data accuracy. So if the compliance group feels this is a recommendation we should have, but it probably fits better under outreach, then we'll do a handoff.
But you would see that happening after we finalize the reports in this round?
Certainly coming out of the face-to-face, we have to decide where a recommendation sits. At this point, if it sits in one place and may be moved, I don't consider that onerous. Is that too wishy-washy for you?
It's not wishy-washy. It's more, I think the problem that we're having, and this happens in a couple of places, is the rapporteurs understanding what they're supposed to retain in their report versus what they're just supposed to tell another subgroup to pick up.
Okay. In my mind, if the compliance subgroup has come to a conclusion that there should be a recommendation, but we feel logistically it fits better under the compliance, under the outreach heading, then I think we can move it to outreach. But I think the concept has to be firmed up by the group that came up with it.
Okay, good. I think that's clear. And so Susan, I guess transition into compliance, then what I take away from what Alan just said is you would retain and polish the recommendations that ultimately might end up in the outreach report, but that would be part of finishing up the compliance report in this round.
Yeah, it's Alan. If I can make one more comment. Remember, we're looking at things that are commenting on the previous recommendations. The ones we're adding from compliance don't really fall out in did ICANN org implement the previous recommendation, but it falls out as we need more work done on the same area as identified in the first who is review, and it fits better under the, you know, if it's text that's going to be incorporated into the compliance web page, not the compliance, the outreach web pages, then you might as well tell the people who are going to be writing that code, that those words, that they need to do it. So it fits better there, but it's still originating out of the compliance review. So I think the compliance review has to be make it clear what it is they're asking for, and then we may put it in a better home for ICANN.org to implement this time around.
Okay. So I realize I'm jumping around a little bit, but this really helps, I think, with resolving some of the problems that Lily is having under data accuracy. So We have made a decision at the face-to-face meeting that the accuracy subgroup report would contain their findings and the problems identified, but that the recommendations would be included in other subgroup reports. And so much of the back and forth that we've seen between Lilly and Volcker in particular have been about recommendations coming out of data accuracy that needed to be reflected in privacy proxy or compliance. So that I guess the following your logic, Alan, if the data accuracy subgroup has recommendations they want to make, that the privacy proxy or compliance team is not incorporating in their report, should they go ahead and include that in their report along
sure.
with their rationale?
Sure.
The overlap with compliance is a little bit more complex because these are issues that really both compliance, the bottom compliance, the new work compliance and data accuracy are both looking at in parallel. So, we decided let's put it in compliance, but the substance comes from perhaps from both of them. So there's a little bit more give and take on those than the ones where we're simply shifting over because it's a better home. But ultimately, the review team is going to have to review on the recommendation, and it's somewhat arbitrary where it goes.
Right. At this point, I guess what I'm looking for is a way to help those rapporteurs that are struggling find a way to get to the June 8th deadline, get their draft recommendations to a point where the rest of the review team can weigh in.
Well, look, I have a to-do to send out a message to the group, because everyone is a rapporteur for something, explaining what to do if you don't have closure, and talk about silence is not necessarily agreement, so try to reach out. And I can add into that for recommendations that that maybe slipped into another subgroup's list. Do your best to finalize what it is you're trying to say, within the subgroup, and then we'll pass it on to the other group and the review team, and other people will weigh in.
Okay, that sounds good.
This is Susan.
Yep.
I also think it's important to keep the analysis that led to that. Like in the compliance, we may have an outreach recommendation, but I think keeping the analysis of what led to that, thinking is important in the compliance area, not to take that and remove completely into the, it might be repeated or summarized in the outreach report. But I think sort of making sure people understand when they read this report that, we were doing this full analysis and this component came out of it and therefore we moved it over. I think it's more logical to me that way.
Yeah, I tend to agree. I'm not quite sure how this is going to look when we have the analysis,
yeah.
But the recommendation is somewhere else. But I think in data accuracy and compliance, we also had the problem that the two groups were to some extent going in different directions. And Lilly was looking for something that was much stronger as a requirement than the compliance one would likely have come out with. And we certainly don't want conflicts between the various subgroups and the recommendations they're making. Which is one of the reasons, certainly in my mind, that we said we need to move it over, because ultimately we have to think of it as a recommendation, not two conflicting recommendations. So, I think
yeah,
the
I
dynamics
that,
were
yeah.
a little bit different in that one than they were somewhere else. Let's proceed. I can go till a half hour, but I can't go any farther than that. So. I don't know what
right.
timing is like.
So I'll try to be quick on the rest of the list.
I can't stay much longer.
All right.
I have to take over from my babysitter.
Okay. Lisa, if there are any that you need Catherine's input on, maybe you could try to skip to those quickly.
So Catherine, I'll jump ahead then to recommendation 15 and 16, the plan and annual reports. Lily did send out her document for a last call for the subgroup, and you asked about how the level of feedback compares. This is another case where Lily hasn't really gotten any feedback from her subgroup. We had in the face-to-face talked about you and Lily coordinating on what you found in strategic priority and how that might affect that other subgroup's recommendations with regard to strategic planning. So I don't know if you had a chance to look at her subgroup report, but you may wish to.
Yes, thank you, Lisa. So I think in my draft report for the strategic priority, I've referred out to a couple other reports, other subgroup reports, including that one. But we haven't actively coordinated. I mean, it was just to basically have another, sort of place where we check the fact that these plans and annual reports have been provided so that the formal requirement is complied with. So I'm not sure we need any more coordination there because from what I understand, we're pretty much in line. And I'm not making any substantive, I'm just saying for further details, refer if I'm not completely mistaken.
Yes.
But I'll go back and check from that viewpoint. And if I may, now that we're skipping ahead on law enforcement specifically, now I'm wondering with all the back and forth we've had on this questionnaire, and I know that a lot of the delays have been due to my side, whether it would not be useful to simply do an assessment now of what changes law enforcement is experiencing rather than now still, to do this double questionnaire run as we had originally intended. And I wanted to consult the subgroup on this, but just in case I'm flagging it here already, in case the leadership has views on this, or Lisa, in case you have input. Because I'm not sure what purpose it would serve to do an assessment of the status quo. I mean, they're already feeling the impact, and some of them are not feeling the impact because they use domain tools, and they're like, yes, domain tools are still available. But what they're not realizing is that the data is getting out of date. So they're relying on stuff that may no longer be usable, and that may not have been gathered in a way that's GDPR compliant, so then they're going to hit an issue once they get to court.
So that's why I was
thinking about possibly just having another look at the questionnaire again with a view to just assessing what has the impact been rather than what is the status quo now, before May 25th and after, because we're already after May 25th.
So, Catherine, you had asked if I had any feedback. I think if you could initiate your survey quickly, that having a baseline to compare to much further down the road as GDPR, the impacts of GDPR compliance really become felt, I still think that would be a useful thing to do. But I understand your point that as you wait further and further for survey responses, you'll get in essence, mixed results. You'll get a partial read on early implementation of GDPR compliance.
Yeah. Maybe we can do a bit of both, but at this point, I think I'd like to ask some questions in terms of comparison to previous experience already, because I think that will have changed looking at the initial sort of anecdotal feedback. But again, I have to propose this to the subgroup, so if anybody thinks this is a disastrous approach or it could be done better, then please do not hesitate to weigh in.
So, Catherine, I have a question about law enforcement, the law enforcement subgroup report. and this may apply to other things as well. So in this case, we have no recommendations for law enforcement yet because you're still in the fact-finding stage. But there are other subgroups where there are no recommendations. From a perspective of, you know, what to say at ICANN 62, would each of those subgroups still want to talk about their findings, even though they have no recommendations, or would you want to leave it as no recommendations and we skip that subgroup with respect to what's presented at ICANN 62?
Well, I certainly thought, I mean, if I may weigh in on this before I drop off, I certainly thought that it would be worthwhile to also present those where we come to the conclusion that the original recommendation has been implemented and the work is done, because then, you know, the fact that we have no recommendation simply reflects that the job has been done, and that is something that the community might also take issue with, so it might be worth to highlight this. But I don't know what the others think.
I agree. I just put that, you know, just also agreed in the chat that each subgroup should report their findings, because if they have no recommendations, then, you know, it is a good time to say, look, good job. This was implemented and it seems to be working fine, or whatever. It's always nice to be able to have positive things to say.
And on that happy note, I'm afraid I have to leave you, but I'll catch up with the recording. Sorry about that.
Thank you, Catherine.
Talk to you soon. Bye.
Thank you.
All right. So just to touch base on the subgroups we haven't already discussed, I think we already indirectly discussed that there's been ongoing debate with regard to the privacy proxy service report. I guess this is a case where Lily is kind of stuck wanting to make a recommendation that was in fact discussed and agreed in the face-to-face meeting, and Volker is uncomfortable with that recommendation. So, Alan, maybe the message that you send out will help make it clear what the resolution should be in that case.
Yeah. Lisa, I haven't had a chance to go over any of that email in the last couple of days. What is this substantive issue in that particular case?
You might recall at the face-to-face meeting, Lily raised a concern about privacy proxy services being used abused by criminals. So we discussed putting a recommendation along that line. In that subgroup's report, Volker has pushed back and said,
but what is the recommendation?
The recommendation is that enforcement of the policy related to privacy proxy would take into consideration the risk of abuse.
Okay, I need to look at it. I'm not quite sure how one implements that.
Right. It's a pretty soft recommendation. But Volker's objection is that there is actually no documented abuse. So they're a little bit stuck.
Okay. I will do my best to get to it. And if I can weigh in, maybe that'll help push in one direction or another.
Yeah. It probably would. And again, this may be something that we discuss
together. This may well be one I side with Volker on, which doesn't happen bloody often.
it is also an indication that Volker, you know, may not have replayed in the conversation that was had at the face-to-face either, which is definitely the case for Common Interface. We're still awaiting anything from Volker on Common Interface. I did put out a subgroup report just incorporating the decisions made at the face-to-face, but he hasn't weighed in yet. So that's why I flagged that as at risk.
Noted.
IDN.
With frustration in my voice.
Yeah, shared IDNs. We know Dimitri is essentially done. He had one small comment from Lily incorporating, but that one's clearly on track. We've already talked a little bit about plan and annual report, but Alan, I know you're a member of that subgroup. If I could suggest you look at the phrasing of the recommendation, Lily, as a non-native English speaker, her recommendation is not as clear as it might be.
Okay.
She probably would welcome some help from a subgroup member on that.
Yeah, I've got two other things that I'm working on that have deadlines that are so absolute that they're far more rigid than our June 8th deadline, and I'm trying to get those done. But noted then as soon as I can get to it.
Thanks. Then we all know anything new. We don't have a report, and we're waiting for one from Stephanie. We've already talked about law enforcement. Consumer trust, I should mention to you that Erica has both professional and personal things going on that are preventing her from sending an updated draft to the subgroup. And at some point we may need to help out on that group. But given that it's in the batch of things that the batch of objectives that aren't related to reviewing the first review team's recommendations, it may not be so critical that we get this one done in advance of ICANN 62. And then one other thing, Alan, I wanted to raise to you in the safeguarding registrant data. I know you're pretty much done on your report there, but in reading it last night, I noted that you were waiting for copies of agreements with escrow providers. And,
right.
I believe, and then I checked with Alice and Jean-Baptiste, and they thought they were waiting for some clarification from you on what the request was. So
I just
wanted to bring that up and let you guys resolve that offline.
All right. I will do something about that. Well, I can do it right now. What we'd like to see is a sample agreements. And if there is, I don't know to what extent these agreements vary, and so if there is a boilerplate one, and then we can get some idea of whether the specific ones vary in regard to the issues we're looking at, that would be fine. But at the very least, we need if there is a boilerplate, you know, standard contract for escrow providers, that should be the first one we see. Right. And as I pointed out, if necessary, I'm sure a subset of the review team is willing to sign a non-disclosure agreement. I certainly am, if that's necessary because of the individual contracts. Does that, with Jean-Baptiste or Alice, does that clarify things sufficiently? I can put it in writing if we need to.
Yes, I was going to ask you, Alan, if you don't mind putting that in writing. I think it will be so much easier for us to make sure we get it all right.
Yep.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Thanks for bringing that up, Lisa.
And that is all I had to say on the status update.
All right.
Apologies for taking the entire call time and more.
We've only taken twice the call time so far. Well, not quite twice. All right, let's continue with the agenda and let's see if we can make this as quick as possible.
Thank you, Ellen. So what we had on the next slide is basically just a recap of the different deadlines that were presented at the last call, so I'll just move on. And the next discussion is on ICANN 62. So here on the last plenary call, you had identified an action item for you to decide and identify who would be presenting at the engagement session. You had mentioned that review team members will be present, can be sitting there, but only a few of them will be presenting. And it's just a reminder that all review team members will attend ICANN 62 with the exception of Dimitris.
Yeah, my inclination at this point is just because I have more faith that people will follow through is that the leadership team do the presentation and the other people be present and, you know, if there's room at a podium, on the podium, otherwise in front of the audience, but that the presentations be done by the three of us. if we try to spread it out any wider than that, it's going to be like herding cats. And to try to get, you know, commitment and follow through on some of these things. People are just too busy and too focused on other issues. So if Susan agrees, then I think that's the best way to go forward.
So this is Susan for the record. I don't know. I mean, I get what you're saying, that we're, you know, may end up at the last minute having to fill in, but I think if the rapporteur wants to and commits to providing a summary, then I think we should let them.
Okay.
So. But I think we should also, each of us, choose to be, you know, figure out which ones we're backing them up.
All right. Yeah. So I send out a message asking rapporteurs if they're going to be in Panama. Do you want to take the lead on presenting your recommendations or your issue? And if they say yes, then expect them to follow through.
Yeah. I mean, for example, I think Lily will.
If they don't, we'll take it.
Right.
Okay, I can do that.
Okay.
But that also means they're going to have to be the ones to comment on the slides and things like that, which at some level they could avoid doing if they're not actually presenting.
True, but we could get an idea if they're not participating up front, the ones that aren't going to.
That's a good point.
Yeah.
All right. Let's go on then.
Thank you, Ellen. And the other thing we wanted to mention is that the session will be supported by Nigar and Larissa in person in the room, and then the rest of your support team will be there remotely, including if you need any late slide updates.
Okay. You're saying neither you nor Alice nor Lisa will be in Panama?
That's correct.
Okay, fine. I somehow presumed Lisa was going to be there, but I guess with the RDS review team halted, that's not as important.
Yeah, that's exactly it, Alan. I had travel approval to go to ICANN 62, but for the PDP, and since the PDP is not meeting, I am not planning to attend in person. I will be there remotely, though.
Okay.
Thank you, Lisa, for the clarification. So what you have on screen is the suggested numerical agenda. Is there anything else you'd like to add or edit or modify the order of the items?
I think that's fine at this point. Hopefully we'll have some closure, if not closure, more clarity on the face-to-face by then.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay. I don't know who is moving the slides, but okay. Now under AOB, so we had one action item from the last leadership call for you to review the comments from Stephanie and confirm whether this should be incorporated, removed, or considered. Did you have any chance in time to look at these?
I did look at them, and I have no memory of it whatsoever right now. Absolutely no memory, and I know I did look at them. Let me do that again. God knows when I'll do it, but sorry about that.
No problem. And if you go to the leadership tracking tool, the link to the comments is there, and I believe I sent also an email.
You did send it.
Yeah. And also another thing, so we shared the latest version of the fact sheet for milestones and participation as of the 30th of April. If you could just provide approval whenever you have if you've done, that would be great. In the interest of time, would you like me to go through the decisions reached in Action Island now, or should I just...
My action items are a message to the rapporteurs on a whole bunch of things, request the escrow agreements, ask who's interested in participating, and look at Stephanie's comments. Everything else, just send an email right now.
Okay. Sounds good.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you all. Bye-bye.
Thank you.
Thanks all.
Bye, Susan.